Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today, and hope you're feeling blessed for having come out today and be with us. I know there's some that aren't able to be here and weather, and we understand that. But we're just good to have all that are able to be here today with us, that's for sure. We are continuing our series entitled That God Became Flesh. We began that last week, and we'll run that through the end of the year. We looked at kind of what George discussed this morning in his communion meditation last week, that God became flesh to give us hope. Today we're going to be looking at God became flesh to give us an abundant life, to give us an abundant life. And Bible has much to say about that. And commentators have a lot to say about that, but unfortunately, I think when we read a lot of, or hear preachers today, radio, TV, internet, whatever it may be, their view on the abundant life, primarily has more to do with our physical circumstances here on this earth than, how we should be living our life spiritually. As Christians, and so we want to take a look at that this morning on not just existing as a Christian, but to have that abundant life of joy, of peace that this world struggles to have at times. But it's important that we understand the idea and the concept of abundance. There was a man that had died and went to heaven and was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter, as the most traditional stories go that way. So Peter met him there and led him down the golden streets, past all these stately mansions, to the very end of the street to a rundown cabin. The man asked, "I saw these beautiful houses and mansions, and I get a hut?" To which Peter replied, "We did the best that we could with the offerings that you sent ahead." Ouch. Right? Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Whether that's a mansion, you know, I really don't care if it's a mansion or a hut or a tent or a teepee. We're going to be with Jesus. And that's what's going to be important. But God became flesh for us to have life. But not just any life. One that is full and rich of all that is true and honest, based on the blessings that the Lord can provide. Our text for this morning is going to be John chapter 10 and verse 10, where it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill." This is Jesus speaking. "And to destroy. He says that I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So the question is this morning, how many of you here are living? Now the question really is, how many of you here are truly living? Right? And that's with that more abundant life that we can have through Jesus Christ. Just a little bit of a humor sake from a student, as he was sharing with his teacher one day. He said, "Teacher, I am so grateful for you teaching me the meaning of abundance. It means a lot." Okay. Jesus' abundant life means a spiritually rich and purposeful and complete life found through Him. And so if we think back to a verse that we had mentioned last week when we talked about John chapter 1 and we see those first five verses that we looked at, and then we slid down to verse 14 and we discussed that He came and He was showed to us, was full of grace and truth. So you know what it means to be full of grace and truth? To To have that to be, Jesus came in all of the grace and all of the truth of the Father. The psalmist talks about having that cup and having our cup overflow us. And even in the Proverbs as well, as it talks about that. And that is what Jesus wants for us to have. But what we have to do, as in Andrew mentioned this morning, that Romans chapter 12 is that rethinking of our mind, that reconcentration, that reevaluation of what things are and on how we need to look at things as a Christian. Jesus' abundant life, as we said, is spiritually rich. It's purposeful and complete life found through Him. How many times do we come in contact with somebody throughout the course of our week that just makes mention, maybe even passing by, that they need to find out what their purpose is in life? If we don't know what our purpose is, That can lead to some pretty bad choices. That can lead to a pretty rough life. That can lead to a lot of things in our world going from bad to worse if we don't know what our purpose is. And each one of us here, as a Christian, as our purpose, Jesus had said that His purpose, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we're to do things such as Him, so that should be one of our priorities, but serving Him. And there's numerous ways that we can do that, that the Lord has given us spiritual abilities that as Christians that we can use to bring Him honor and bring Him glory. But Jesus here contrasts in our verse the difference between Him and the thief. Who's our ultimate thief in this world? Satan, the great deceiver. Because He says here that the thief is destructive, has an intent to steal and to kill. No matter how appealing the things that Satan has to offer may seem to us, remember, they are not. They are not worth it. They are more destructive than good, and they will lead us to ultimate death. That's why He said it's destructive. He will steal and ultimately kill us spiritually. And then what happens is physically, when our bodies are changed, we know they're changed when we go to heaven. We'll have to live in destruction, in a time of death for all eternity. I don't know that we can truly understand the words eternal life, but I think something that may be even more hard for us to understand would be eternal death. An eternal separation. But the Lord doesn't want for us to dwell in that. He wants for us to know that as a Christian that we have come out of all those things. Jesus desires for us to live that eternal life with inner joy and peace and wholeness. This is not necessarily always with worldly wealth or ease or comfort, but a life of God's provision, of God's purpose, and the power through the Spirit that we can use our service for His victory. It is a life of overflowing with divine blessings. Instead of looking at what everybody else has and what we don't have, and I know we've used this starting back in Thanksgiving, but count our blessings. I heard a poem on that this week, and I wanted to look it up and find it, see if I could find it, and share it with you. But it was just a wonderful reminder of the blessings that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. Not only available to us now, see, not all the gifts and promises that the Lord has offered to us are set in the future. Some of them are very right here, very real, right now, just ripe for the taking. But when we fail to look to Him as we should, we get distracted by the things of this world going on. However, this spiritual eternal life is available now and for all eternity. And one of the great markings, one of the great details that we can all see about this in each other is that deep relationship that we develop with our God and Father, just as our Savior did. If you can learn anything from the Old Testament, and there's much to learn from the Old Testament for sure, but if there's anything that we can learn is look and see how many of those individuals, not many times do we find that they had a great support group. Not many times do we find that they were surrounded with all those people encouraging them to do the good things. Now, I'm so glad that Hebrews 12 talks about that we have, or we've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. But as we see those examples that are being set, many of those are the ones that are being referred to. Noah, he had to set off by himself in a small portion of family. Moses had to leave off by himself before he could find, and the list goes on. Elijah felt alone and all those things. But one thing we see is that they all developed a very deep and meaningful relationship with their Father in heaven. And now as we see that, the way that we have that today is, as John 14:6 tells us, that no man will come to the Father except through me, through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one that gives us that abundant life. What is this abundant life that Christ desires for us? What is that? It's easy to say, oh, have blessings, like James says. It's easy for us to go about, and especially this time of year, you know, peace and joy and good tidings. And we bring up all these phrases that for some reason we never use in March. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But we have these phrases that we bring out that are biblical that we seem to overlook in August. But as we look at these things and be reminded that of this abundant life that Jesus wants for us to have. Taking off the words of a president from years gone by. Do you think Jesus is really concerned with us having a car in every driveway and a chicken in every pot? It sounds good. It sounds American. It sounds like a good deal to shoot for. But you know, more people in the world don't have those things than do. And yet sometimes we have so many cars we can't even put them in the garage. Or our garage is so full that we can't put them in our garage. And so we look at the blessings that we have been given. So, you know, is that the abundant life? And so if you were asked this morning to write down on a piece of paper, what does it mean to have or live an abundant life? What would those things consist of? The abundant life. Is it material blessings? Would that start our list? Would that be on our list? And we're not just talking about having a life that would be good and that we would desire. Jesus here says, everybody's going to have life, but I've come to give it to you more abundantly. That means, I know it's going to be a shocker when I say this, but Joel Osteen's got it wrong. Our best life is not now. We are living this life to get through to the next one. And so when we focus on things for the day, Jesus doesn't tell us that it's wrong. And I come across that about a week or two ago. But he does compare it to something when we seek after those things. He says that even the Gentiles seek after those things. So when we read Scripture, you know, we'll see the Jews, the Gentiles, and then when we come to like Galatians, we see the Christians. So, would you rather be claimed as a Jew? A Gentile? Or how about a Christian? And those are the things. That's what the abundant life is all about. And so we've got a list of things here that we want to look at. If you're following along, write those down, come back to them and study them out. But even if it's just taking one or two of these things and really focusing on it in the next week or so, as we had made mention earlier of John 1:14, full of grace and truth, it's kind of where our first one starts. Jesus wants to give us spiritual fullness, spiritual fullness. It is about being filled with God's presence, His indwelling Spirit, the Word of God, the Bible, Jesus Christ, and that fruit of the Spirit that we can have by trying to live like Jesus, who's like the Father. Those things of love and joy and peace and all those things that are given to us and things that we need to be cultivating and sharing. So how do we keep up with the idea of spiritual fullness? Well, I think Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, several verses in there, but we're going to look at verse 6 and 10. It says, "For the mindset of the flesh is death." So remember that imaginary list that we made out? Was our blessings on there? Was our abundant life on there? Physical things or spiritual things? Were they fleshly things? Were they earthly things? Were they heavenly things? Were they holy things? Because Paul says here, for us to set our mind on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. We have a world of people at this time of year that's going around wishing for people to have peace. And the problem is they don't even know who Jesus is. So I can guarantee you they will not and unable to express true peace in their life or even be able to attain it. Verse 10 says, if Christ is in you, how does Christ get in us? How do we get into Christ? We're immersed into Christ, right? If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, we've crucified the old man of flesh, yet the Spirit is alive because of what? Righteousness, all those things that are good, all that Jesus Christ represents, all that He wants for us to take and see from His life and learn from His life, apply to our life, that is the abundant life. As Christians, we seek the eternal, the spiritual, and the holy versus the world. And this is where we got to be careful that we don't step back into the world, a world that seeks after the flesh, after the temporal, and after those vain things of life, those things in life that will not matter. Those things that we talk about that after one passes, either end up in somebody else's possession or in a junk pile somewhere. All those precious things that we thought. Seen a meme this past week as well, and I'm sure you've heard it either from a message before or a lesson, or maybe you've seen the same. But you know what? There is And listen, and this goes with the parenting class that Hal just finished up and that Ryan's teaching. You know what? Everybody here that has kids, there's only one thing besides yourself you can take to heaven with you. And it's not a car. It's not a house. It's your kids. It's the only thing. The only thing. Think about that. Out of everything that you have, the only thing that you can take to heaven with you is your kids. That's quite a sobering thought. But what it does is it reminds us, so what is the abundant life? What is the abundant life? And so as we look at that, don't be chasing the vain things. Chase those things that will change our life eternally. And so the next thing we want to look at is the idea of eternal and present. Eternal, it begins now with an eternal life. When we became a Christian, we then grasp hold of eternal life and assurance in Christ, and this extends into eternity. Eternity has been set in the heart of man. We're going to be somewhere forever. And so how we live the present decides where our forever will be. A word that has caught on in the last few years, especially if you watch the remodeling shows of houses and stuff, is, oh, we just want our forever home. Right? And we know what they mean by that. Right? Unfortunately, they don't. Our eternal home, our forever home, isn't here. Our eternal home, our forever home, is that place that Jesus says, I'm going to prepare for you. And that where I go, someday you shall be. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have been written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I can tell what you truly think of the hereafter, or what we want to call eternal life, by how serious we take this present life. Now, I like to have fun, don't get me wrong. But you know what? There's a time where you need to tighten down the nuts and bolts, batten down the hatches, whatever kind of language you want to think. And we need to consider, you know, people say, well, this life's no good if you don't have fun. I'm telling you, as Christians, we can have just as much fun as anyone else on the face of the earth. But let's do it with eternity in mind, is what we need to do. The abundant life is being able to look past the sometimes troubling present, that this too shall pass. By the way, not a Bible verse. It is a good thought, though, to think of, because whether it's a good thing, guess what? It's not going to last forever. Whether it's a bad thing, guess what? It's not going to last forever, right? So this too will pass, but this abundant life is able to look past the sometimes troubling present and consider our eternity in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Father, which art in heaven. That is talking about the eternal and the present. How about looking beyond this world, beyond this world? It surpasses worldly standards of success. And that's why years ago, we had Shane Capp speak at one of our graduation ceremonies for the high school class. And his whole message was on, will you have real success in your life? And he went back to the book of Joshua and sought comparisons there. And I just always think about that because, again, our world's idea of success, and unfortunately many times those in the church, their eyes of success, their heart of success is, so how much can you make? You know, what can we take? What can we get? What can we, you know, and we focus on all of these things instead of looking beyond this world. Now, through that means we need to look at this world differently. As we said, so what happens if things don't quite go your way in this world? We've still got heaven. But let's imagine, let's just say everything goes great for you in this world and you never chose Jesus. So 60 years, 70 years, 90 years. Am I there yet, Norma? What? 92 years? What? Something like, you know, or 150 years? Eventually that's over, but eternity is going to be a long time. When I say eternity forward, God already understands the other way. That we have a hard enough time figuring this side out, let alone eternity all direction. But we ought to seek success beyond this world, focusing on divine riches and purpose rather than possessions and comfort. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these other things that were talked about will be added to you. That's the abundant life, and not necessarily the best house and the best car, but you'll have exactly what you need when you're allowing for Him to provide. As Christians, we are part of the divine kingdom. Be not misunderstood. That is the church that will never perish. A kingdom that will stand forever is what Daniel called it. We are not subdued or distracted by the things of this earth, but have an appeal for the righteousness of our Savior that died for us. Next, how about purpose and victorious? To be purposeful and victorious. That's what the abundant life is, a life of meaning, free from the destruction that the thief brings, marked by overcoming challenges through faith in God's power. By acknowledging that we, in this life, will have troubles. That's like scripture, right? Doesn't Peter talk about that? In this life, we will have troubles. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you will have trouble. But what is our purpose? We can mark our purpose by the challenges that we overcome through faith in God's power. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. The older I get, the harder this one is for me to remember. And it should be easier, I think. But it's just, sometimes you get so disappointed with people. We get disappointed with decisions. But it says, you know what? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against anybody here or anybody out there. But it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, aka Satan and all his demons and minions and all those that go with him, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. And here's what blows my mind is I could understand if he's talking about wickedness in evil places. Right? Could we understand that? Could we grab that? Of wickedness in demonic places, of wickedness in evil places, of things like that. But that's not what it says. It says that we are in battle against spiritual forces of wickedness even in the heavenly places. And that's where reading a book like Seeing the Unseen by Joe Beam would help you to understand some of that. That as we look at that and we realize and we understand, not that you can't find those things out from Scripture, but they help you to look through that, that there's too many things in this life that we think are fairy tales. We are so enamored today by what they can do with animation and AI and the movie screen and everything else that we forget that there is a real, live, breathing enemy that wants each and every one of us from Logan over here all the way across to Drew over here that wants us dead spiritually and physically. Satan will never have the power that God does, but he can do his best to destroy and to hurt the ones that God loves. And that's how he's going to work. Our struggles are not against people or situations, but powers tossed around by those that are deployed by Satan. Just a reminder, these interactions take place on earth, as we said, and also in those heavenly places. How about giving and serving? Well, that doesn't sound like the abundant life, right? You know, whenever you're stuck on yourself, right? I loved it in Ryan's class this morning. One of his points as a parent was, get over yourself, right? That's just good advice for all Christians, right? Get over yourself. But giving and serving, ask not what can be done for you, but what you can do for others, and make that way more spiritual than anything that JFK said. Giving and serving. The life lived for Christ is a life that empowers giving to others. Finding true fulfillment in self-sacrifice for His glory, echoing Jesus' own life. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Did you see the word money there? No. What does it actually say? Each one must... Can we read? Each one must do... There's things that we must do. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. We talked about purpose. Our purpose is to give to others and to serve Jesus Christ by serving others. Not grudgingly or under compulsion. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Christianity is about giving and serving those around us, and not just those in the church. The most sharing and benevolent people in this world should be Christians. And when I say Christians, I'm not using the world's vernacular. I'm using Bible definition there. All of us in this room, those that we know that are worshiping around the world, that are Christians, should be the most sharing, giving, and benevolent people on the face of this earth. Because we understand what it is to serve a Savior that gave everything for us and never held back. And I know what you're thinking, and we're finally there. Lastly, complete and balanced is a life of abundance. Complete and balanced. Sometimes when we see this word complete, it may say perfect, right? But as we look at this and we understand of being complete, that we all have something missing in our life. But when we come to Jesus, He's like Jell-O. He fills in those gaps, right? And I don't mean to be derogatory on that by any means. But what I'm saying is through our weaknesses, He is made strong and balanced. We start to understand that, you know what? When we live a balanced life for Christianity, that means Jesus Christ is number one. But guess what? And I think this is maybe something that we don't preach enough, and I don't want to take it out of context either. But God, or Christ, the Holy Spirit, they do allow for us to like other things. Right? Does that make sense to us? I mean, to say that we're all in for Jesus doesn't mean that you can't like football. Right? Doesn't mean that you can't like a cooking show. Or better yet, you know, it's better than a cooking show. Actually making the stuff that they're doing on that cooking show. Right? Or is there, you know, and this goes on for anything. Any hobby that anybody might have. Those things are not wrong. And we can still be a part of those things and put Jesus first. Actually, what's really incredible is when we love something so much and then yet still put Jesus first. Do we understand that? I could go to this. I love this. This is great. But I want to worship with the saints today and worship Jesus. You can think so highly of that and still love Jesus more. And that is the complete and the balanced of that. We've never been asked to lock ourselves away in a monastic society, in a compound somewhere, and to stay away from all the world. No, we are in the world, but not to be of the world. A harmonious life where all aspects are filled and nothing essential is lacking, like a sheep finding rich pasture. Colossians 3:23, a reminder for us all. Whatever you do, there's that word again, do, right? Whatever you do, this is one of those times don't snicker in the Bible. We've got two words back to back that makes people want to laugh, right? Whatever you do, do. They'll be like, did you hear what the preacher said today? Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. George has said it before, and this is the way I believe each and every one of you are, that when he worked at GM, he told his boss, I don't work for you. Right? Brandon, don't work for the fence company. Derek, don't work for Avis. Josh, don't work for Sweetwater. And the list goes on. We could go through and name everybody. We don't work for them. We work for Jesus. We work for God of creation. We work for the one that can change lives and wants to change lives. That's where we have not just life. We can go out here on the highway today. We can go into the stores or the restaurant and see people that are living. But what is truly magnificent is when we come in contact, or they get to come in contact with us, people that are living the abundant life. And this is where Christian finds within ourselves the satisfaction of living for the Savior. So that even when life does not go as we would like for it to, and it will, we still are grateful to just be able to live for the cause of Christ. The abundant life is complete. It's joy-filled existence. Living that life for God characterized by some of these spiritual blessings that we've looked at, knowing that we, each and every one of us, yes, you as a Christian, has purpose. And if you're sitting here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ and you wonder, what is my purpose? Your first purpose is to come to Jesus. But we have that purpose and assurance available now to those who choose to follow Him. Follow Him now, so that we can gain hold of the eternal abundant life. If you're outside of Jesus today, we hope that you understand that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life, but no man can make it to heaven without me, without Jesus, to the Father. So we need to repent of our sin. I'm not that bad of a person. You're a sinner. You know how I know that? I don't even have to know who you are. But Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sinner. Right? But I'm looking in the mirror, buddies. Okay? We need to repent of our sin. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Walk along with His promises. Be immersed into Jesus Christ, where the dead man is buried and we resurrect. Giving a prophecy for what things are going to be like in the future when we resurrect from this old body. And the dead in Christ shall meet Him in the air. Right? The dead will rise first and then those who are living shall meet Him in the air. Let me get that right. But then live faithfully. Maybe it's not a point of, you know, I didn't know what I was doing when I became a Christian, when I was baptized. If you know that you were a sinner and needed to be saved and had your sins washed away, you knew enough. But as you move on, you realize, you know what, I just feel like there's something missing. Well, the Holy Spirit's in your life. What you're doing is you're quenching it. Or you're putting it out. Jesus says, I want you to have the abundant life. The life that I give. The life that as I go on back to the Father, that the Holy Spirit's going to come and be your guide and your comforter. He's going to help us to understand. You want to just live? Exist? Or to have true life of abundance? The choice is yours. The opportunity is now. As we sing, will you stand?
Let's sing, Jesus Paid It All.